in Satcha. And I thought that today we could just talk about, I wanted to actually start with Izzy Wood. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her work, but she's like become like a celebrity in the genre of painting recently, especially in the last few years, because her paintings have just like sold for so much money, and she's like really popular with like older collectors and younger artists. Like, and this is the work I want to talk about. It's called Mother's Maiden Name, which is like, I don't know if anyone can see it. Yeah, and I kind of want to ask if what people think of this painting, and also if they think that this kind of painting is relevant to anyone's experience, just in general. Yeah. And maybe not like focus on this specifically, but just like the style of painting and why they think it's emerged.
What kind of style would you describe it in?
It's like her.
I think you can't hold it. Can't see it. Yeah, should we pass it around?
Yeah.
Look at it.
What is it? Like, is that like a night?
It's a night.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
You said
like the close-up painted image of a still of a knight's armor, and it's in like grainy. Is
it a female knight?
Huh?
Is it a female? No, I know you can't have technically female knights.
Don't know.
You know, is it like a real, sort of make like this multi-level photograph?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing about them. Yeah. Like, it's like kind of.
It's like cartoonish photographs.
Yes.
But then the artist plus like 18 didn't that's like fair the back. It looks like.
So they're always so closely cropped. Like, yeah. She never gives any sense of space or of going beyond like her subject. You're always like the throats in the painting.
I feel like it's like, I always thought of it as in this world, it's like quite like, I think it's like inspired very much by like,
the South Korean musical, so like by like looking at it,
like the way it grinds. It is like a real like immediate.
With you read it, like, I think that's like fun to do, and it's like, well, it's a refitted team.
Unfortunately. Yeah, it looks like something around that's been dropped hastily.
And then not there for me, thank you.
Yeah.
A good one.
Yeah, I just wonder like what's
into
role in her work serves. Like, it's so popular, but I always wonder like what role it serves in just like replicating the image culture that we encounter every day on Instagram.
I don't think it does anything for painting. Like, I think
what do you mean?
It just makes me feel really sad.
But why does it make you feel sad?
Because it's satisfying aesthetically. It's satisfying in that they're very well done paintings and they execute the frame very well. But everything, every part of the painting comes to your eye on the same level. You don't feel, you don't really feel like pushed by the paintings at all. They satisfy you, but they kind of just remind me of rugs. Or
do you feel that there's no perspective in the painting?
I guess that must, yeah, that's probably an element of it, subconsciously.
It's, it's like a medieval history or like,
yeah.
Maybe she's trying to talk up more like past or something, because it's called Mother's Being, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can even use that to like juxtapose like the Bible or the idea of like, that scripture talking about how the armor of God, like Mother's Maiden, was like, there's a bit of like, it's like a religious, like, Moldavian undertone. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like it's just, I don't know, it needs more context, it needs more mystery. Like, it's just up close watching. I don't know, maybe it's just me.
I quite like that painting just because of the angle of it and the fact that it from my interpretation of it, it looks like a female warrior, especially because in around the medieval times, like the female form or beauty would have been a bit of a taboo and they were quite well covered up. In this painting, it's like she's completely guarding up and she's taking it from quite a promiscuous angle to take a photo, like, which completely, is that the full image?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the that's the full painting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a selfie. But where's her head? Like.
That's why it's cropped, because it's like a. She's like. I guess yeah. She's like imitating like how Instagram.
You see, I would have said this is slightly sexualized, in my opinion.
There's it's like not sexualized.
No, like it is sexualized. Like there's a sexual element to it, like a suggestive sexual element to it. There's the leather belt there, like.
Oh, I often like think about a lot that. I do like about a lot of my work. I think it's like the crop that does that in a lot of her work is like she like the way she crops it like makes it kind of alluring or like kind of erotic in some way.
It's like a kind of naughty image, so you wouldn't want to attribute it to like the person, so you're like hiding the identity.
Well, so that is just the form of like breasts. Like a clinched waist.
Mm-hmm.
It feels really.
I'm interested into why you think like lack of perspective is. Do you always think lack of perspective denotes something negative in a while, or like aesthetically is disputed?
No, I don't think it. I don't think there needs to be a conventional perspective. But I guess I just respond to painting. I mean, you touched on like there being no mystery. I think it's to do with that as well. There's everything that you receive. On the surface, it feels like you can take immediately, and there isn't. So it's not like you don't need perspective to have a delayed discovery. I think that's what I mean.
Yeah, because it's quite like obvious what it is. Like it's you can just see exactly what it is, and then you're not really trying to interpret it. But then sometimes those are the ones that are really fun to look for meaning in. Because on the surface it's so obvious, it's not like abstract, and you're zoomed in, it's like you're looking right at it a bit. So then it makes me think like why, you know, like but that's interesting, and then like you want the answer. Why?
Does anyone think it's like 50?
Seems a bit dull.
I agree with the word satisfying. I think it's also like so like Instagram like square frame. I think you absorb it like in the same way, like it's satisfying. It looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like a like promo, like PR shot for like some new like armor, like advert. Like it's like a fancy advert.
I think something that strikes me is the title Mother's Maiden. Mm. I feel like I can relate to the painting to like, the reason why I said medieval history and like, it reminds me of Jonah the Ark. It has that like,
that's so interesting you say that, because like medievalism has like become a genre, like a subject matter that's been revisited so much in the last 5 years in figurative painting especially. And I think she's touching on like a trend to like, and it's the same on Instagram as well, like there's all these like Tumblr images of like armor and like Joan of Arc, so she's like playing into like a like an archetype of like the saint, but she's also, I don't know, this picture reminds me of Tumblr.
It's a trend.
Yeah.
So the layering could be, like the lack of layering could be conceptual rather than, like she hasn't like layered it materially with paint. It's not at all layered, the painting. It's like one flat image.
Do you mean in terms of picture playing or in actual image?
In terms of like, she's acknowledging the fact that this is a trend. And that this imagery is like coming up again and again and again, and that it's becoming like we're having like all these new connotations to it in our heads, and then she's just like, oh, I'm adding like another one to that, but then the painter doesn't really do much more.
Sorry, I don't know if that's like
meta based.
I thought it was like I'm not turning my head.
I think her work is like just like I found her work just like she's like the Instagram painter.
Yeah.
That's what I literally what I think of in my head, and I think of as well. She's the Instagram
because she's represented by Michael Werner, which is like a gallery that represents some of the like biggest names in like near expressionist painting, and they hate to be called that. And so she's like been inserted into this canon of like great radical painters. But I'm just interested to know what people think about the work, because it never seems to radical to me, other than that it's like it directly imitating what we see online every day.
Yeah, I'm not sure radical is the right word.
Yeah.
I would call it a beautiful looking painting. Like, I really like the way the light falls on the image. I just think it's really cool.
Yeah.
But in terms of like meaning, I don't know, that doesn't really like reinforce the beauty. I think the beauty for me just stops at vision. I'm still trying to like tug out what it might represent. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know too much about medieval stuff, but it's kind of where I'm at with this. But I do really like it. I think it looks cool.
It's just a weird thing. I don't know. Like, it doesn't have like. When I see a painting, I need to know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Like, I feel like I'm not disrespecting the artist. I don't know who the artist is, but I feel like it's very like elitist. If you get what I mean, just like a bougie family buying this painting, and like my dad has this painting, the mother made him like reflects it. It's like a flex painting.
It's a flex painting.
But that's kind of what I wanted to ask as well. Like, does anyone like feel like this? I don't know. Like painting sometimes can feel like always has felt like an elitist genre artwork, just because of its connotations of how it's about. Prices that it fetches, but I feel like Izzy Wood's self-critic has become known to me to be just because of how it is like gone up in value. But then again, like in terms of what you're saying, like does its content denote that as well? Because it's kind of inaccessible.
Yes, right. I can't buy that painting. I don't know if the work's like inaccessible. I think that like the idea behind the work is an atmosphere and an aura rather than like a specific a sort of linear exchange of a perspective or an opinion. And I think to talk about or paint or anything in any kind of absolute way other than to talk about not talking about it absolutely is like it's easy to get into a cul-de-sac conversationally very quickly that way. I think that it just makes more sense to talk about things a little bit more personally. Acknowledge like the kind of like poetic nature of painting and art, things like that, as opposed to the kind of a bit more like such transactional, one-dimensional. Like this means this, or this is good and this is bad, or like all of those. All of those ways of approaching art are like, they're what make art inaccessible.
I feel like though, some people like me, are like some of the poetic stuff that I get out of art is like kind of placing it in like the way that I think about the world, which is like kind of quite sociological. And so like sometimes like looking at it materially, like where it gets put on, where it gets not shown, like its editing. That kind of makes like an interesting thing for me than the image.
Yeah, I think that is interesting, but I don't know. I think it's cool to talk about it that way. Yeah, but I think that like to just talk about it that way is
like, it's only one word.
It's one way of talking about it, and it's also like it's a kind of easy way to talk about it if you want to feel right or wrong. Because there's more like sort of intersubjectively agreed upon like values in those conversations, whereas when you're talking about like the poetic nature of things or the emotional nature of things or the atmospheric nature of things, then you're just in a completely subjective territory, and then everybody can only speak from their own perspective, and then it gets really intimate, and that's kind of cool too.
You say like talking about it like that is a way of distancing it from the personal connections that you have to the work, and then that being
essentially. It's one way. It's also a way to inject like authority into a conversation around art as well, because it's not about art then; it's about social views or
I feel like in. I think it's like obviously, like, kind of visually, like, in a visual way, like, that, I think that is, like, a punch, like, that is, in a way, it's, like, a poetic painting, but I think Izzy Wood, like, particularly, like, can't be separated from the kind of commercial conversation around that. But there three Jet Locks, kind of, one of the reasons she's, like, in her sleep phase is because of her how far you go works. So I feel like, in a way, like, how I think that is poetic.
I agree, but I think I'm talking about the painting rather than Izzy Wood.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
And I think just painting as a medium lends itself to being talked about in a certain way, and then maybe people lend themselves to be talked about. So maybe we talk about people in a way that, and maybe it'd be cool if we talked about people in the same way that we talked about paintings too, but that's like a whole thing.
I think the tension is between the notion that we feel like there's something at stake when you argue about a piece of art, right? When you think about, you argue with your friends, oh, I thought that was a good movie, I thought that was a bad movie. And we think that there's something that distinguishes, I don't know, like Miley Cyrus and Tolstoy. So on some level, implicit in the way we think about art is some kind of notion of good or bad. But then on the other, what's pulling against that is that it's inherently a subjective experience. It's inherently personal. There's no object out there that we can measure and quantify. So this is kind of one of like perennial problems of aesthetics, but I think that's where it lies, this kind of our tendency to want to talk about it in more dispassionate, neutral terms, to also actually kind of, to also wanting to say that, you know, it's completely personal and there can't be any kind of any objective fact of the matter.
I really like the line of what you were saying, but like, it's because I think what I did art history in the last 2 years. I think I like stopped and then you can paint to the brain like a really long time for me, because I just, like, when you study art history, you were like taught how to look at things that from an entirely sociological and political perspective. But I'd really like the idea of, like, I know when they're like, you go to a gallery and you see a painter, there's that scene in Boston where she like finds a thing of Monet, and I'm always like, I've literally never cried at a fucking painting. Like, I just can't imagine that painting would ever make me cry. But I really like the idea of having like an emotional experience to a work, and like being able to like kind of get away from that standpoint that you talk about. But I don't know, do you have any like works that you think about Rich H to put in English?
I think the paintings and acts upon you in a cumulative way rather than on a like instantaneous way. Like music is like you're in it, whereas I think painting kind of builds up like dub music, like it's like a sediment, you know, it's like something that just, you know, and then it affects how you look at trees, it affects how you look at somebody, it affects the way that you treat the world and how sensitive you are to it. But I don't think it's like an instant reaction the same way that dance is, or theatre is, or film is, or music is. I think that poetry and painting are very similar in that way.
Did you say it's the best thing to have in the blog?
I think everyone should talk about art how they want to talk about it, but I think people should be aware of how talking about it a certain way will affect a conversation. So, like, if you talk about it in terms of if it's good or bad, then you're going to have a binary conversation, and that's just going to lead to perpetual conflict.
Sometimes you can't just get
conversation. Yeah.
Especially in London, and I feel like part of the reason like this beating open hours is kind of like to make both escape that and also to engage. You can't engage with it, so you will always have it.
Yeah. But once you're aware of that, then you're free from it, right? And then you're just like, oh, well, that's just your opinion.
Yeah.
And then you can just take it, everyone's opinion is their opinion. And then you can also have a conversation, which I think is a rarer conversation in the culture at the moment, which is like, I feel like this about it, or the mood speed feel this, or makes me think about this idea that I'm excited about right now, or, and then it's a bit more, it's an opportunity for a conversation that I don't think people have got a lot. Like, most of the time people just like the shop. It's good or it's bad, or...
Lydia, do you still find that you can, like, do you still feel emotional about art when you look at it, even if it's not, like, the emotion of making you feel like you want to cry or that kind of emotion? Do you still feel like you can take, like, I've got this feeling for a bit or about it? Are you always analysing? Are you always, like, in analytical debate?
No, sometimes I think of the art. That, no, I don't know, since it became like my job to like look at paintings on my phone every day, like pitch stuff, I think I've had a very cynical perspective on art. But recently photography is like the thing that's made me feel more emotional, because I used to never be able to connect with it on any level, and then I started like looking at photographs and it came on the top. I don't know, like you said, it's like a community, like things work when you're a different place. But contemporary art just made me feel emotional. Like, the art made me most by being stuff. Like, the paintings that I've looked at that in London galleries, they tend not to make me feel emotional. Except for when they're, like, older ones. And maybe that's a really grand generalisation to make, but yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
Does anyone feel,
think about contemporary art paintings that make them feel emotional? Because I get what you mean about the alienation.
But I think I've actually seen, like, I remember being in a, I think it actually was Izzy Wood. I didn't know who she was at the time. Or maybe it's like a copy of Izzy Wood or whatever. But like those kind of props, hyper-real things. And being in a whole room about it did have an emotional effect on me, because it made me think, oh, isn't this like a world? But like I felt that was a meta comment, you know what I mean? That was my emotion.
I say that, but this painting actually is the last one I saw that maybe spilled, like,
oh. What were you going to say, Tom? I feel like, I'm not, like, seeing any, like, white painters or anything. I feel like, I feel more emotional when I see a Jean-Michel Basquiat work. But, like, imagine, like, juxtaposing a Jean-Michel Basquiat work with that. You can see there's a difference.
He also has such a, like, his work actually has
context.
An incredible, like, knowledge. Like, it's literally, like, based in an incredible knowledge that isn't, like, immediately, like, visible, but there's, like, his paintings, like, hold a weight that those just don't have anything else into it.
Just like Kerry G. Marshall. Like, I feel like I resonate more, I can connect more with black painters, because I feel like they're more visual poets, because painting is not just a form of escapism. I feel like it's a form of them just like, it's another form of their existence. Like, how can, it's just weird, like, just like Jean-Michel Basquiat, like the way he does his self-portraits. Why do you draw yourself as a black person the way, you know? And like, have you studied the anatomy of like the body and it's I feel like it's quite emotional for me, and like I don't know, I just draw. I like a story that I'm realize that I like stories that are more reflective and personal. Like, cause that painting is beautiful. There's beauty in meaningless, but like it's not like I feel like I spark connection with the painting or not. Or like a graffiti artist, for example. The reason why I like graffiti is an act of rebellion, you know? Or like, that, I feel like how I connect with artists more on like how it resonates with the artist, or like the context about what the philosophy is more about the philosophy than the image. It's more of like, I don't know, it's just me, that's me. I can relate more to like a kid painting in the streets of London than a painting in a religious white space, and like my dad can buy that painting. If you get what I mean? Nah, there's a meaning in this photo. Why can't it doesn't fill me? Like, you know, it's, I would rather watch a Playboy Cardi music video than this, than looking at this, because like, or see some opium kids like dressed in opium, because it's just weak. It's like a form. I don't get what this painting is trying to tell. As a black kid, like I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's super personal, right? Yeah. And like, it makes sense that you like that because it reflects you more, but you see yourself in it now, you know? And it makes sense why Rose Easton likes Izzy Woods painting, you know? Like, it all makes sense. But like, that's how it's supposed to be.
That's a subjective. Yeah.
It is, and it's supposed to be super personal. Like, yeah, it's different. And to look at art outside of its context doesn't really make sense either. Like, I don't like looking at paintings on a screen. I don't, like, it's not a photograph. It makes sense that if you're going to look at images on a flat surface, then you'd like photographs more than you like paintings as well, because paintings are material landscapes, and like, you have to see them in person. You can't see them anywhere else. But photographs you can see in other environments.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like, it doesn't make sense for us to really, yeah, understand them outside this context, I guess. And like, I think one interesting thing about right now is that like, we're all coming together from all, such different places. And I think it's making us realize like, the things that bring us together, but also the things that really make us different, and that's a nice thing, you know, that like we're all gonna have our own contexts and art that interests us.
You're right. Like, I grew up with books on like, what's his name, on the, forgot his name, the surrealist guy.
Dali.
No. He's famous.
The Greek.
Cubism. He did Cubism. Picasso. Yeah. I grew up reading his books. Then when I just realized, I was, he basically stole from African sculptures. So I just disconnected with him. Why? You know, like, you're inspired by this thing. You didn't like that. I feel like there's a way an artist should credit a deep life, but like, it just, I feel like it's like, I feel like it's a form of colonialism when you steal an African context and you use it in your own, and you don't like, you don't subtly show it in your work that you were influenced with your own work. So I disconnected with Pablo Picasso on that, because his paintings are beautiful, but they were actually inspired. I have the book that he was inspired by in my house. It's in Lagos. It's like, there are only two copies of that book. It's rare. And like, my uncle showed me the differences between Pablo Picasso's work and his friend did, like, because in the 90s, they did, you know how we're having conversations? There were a group of like Nigerian artists and young photographers. They were showing, they did this session where they brought like white people art, and they did like an analysis on how they use those references. I don't know how my uncle explained it. It was just like,
they did them side by side.
Yeah, it was just clicking, like, yeah. How Greek mythology is the same thing with Yoruba mythology. How African mythology is the same thing with Greek mythology. How like mythology and paintings are the same thing. It's just a different like narrative, and it's like interesting that I feel like art is all about like perception and interpretation. But like, I just don't like Pablo Picasso because like everything was inspired by African art. Cubism to me seems like, because I've been studying a lot of African masks, the way the shapes and the frames of the faces and the structure is similar to like Pablo Picasso and the Cubism movement. I feel like they were really inspired by African arts, more in sculpture making, like the Edo sculptures in Benin, and like all this. I feel like that's why art is important. It involves history in a weird way. It doesn't, you can't hide the history of art. And when you have someone like a Basquiat that's showing people like that, that's scary to the institution because, like, I mean, they might kill you or what, like.
Yeah, it's scary to the institution people, sorry. It's so scary for them to admit that, like, their neat narrative, like, cubism to modernism and then modernism to, like, exceptionalism, all that stuff, like, doesn't happen as neatly as they say it does. So I guess that's why it's so expensive.
Well, how do you guys feel of the British Museum full of stolen art?
Oh, the such a museum,
honestly. Yeah,
it's... Yeah, yeah.
But, like, how do you feel? Does that change your perspective on, like, what art is? Would you say?
But, like, in the context... Like... Well, I guess in the British Museum, when you're looking at things that are stolen, it doesn't really change my perception of the item because the context around it changes my perception of the museum and of the institution.
I don't think we're talking about art then. I think we're talking about politics now again. I think that's what happens a lot with art. Like, people find it hard to jump into poetry with other people. Because it's a vulnerable and intimate and kind of weird thing. So people are always going to try to jump off the train and go to politics or go to history or go to...
But, like, you know, like, how... So you're talking about the, like, your perception of a work and, like, when you first see it, how... You have to think about... Let's think a bit wider about, like, how it actually got to be there, how it... You know, material... Like, yeah. You're doing a kind of material thing when you look at it.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, why not extend the materiality to, like...
Mm-hmm.
To that, and then that inherently becomes political, and then so
yep.
I don't think it's always bad.
So. I'm not saying it's always bad. I'm not saying that, but yeah. I'm saying that we're not talking about painting right now.
But, like, yeah, like when what you said about Picasso, I think that's a really good point because you're basically just that you can look at painting and, like, form your ideas about it on your level of what you can see, but then. You can definitely get that whole other level when you know the context. And that makes me want to know a bit more context about this artist because I didn't really know anything about
Peter. It's not really related.
But I guess, is she British? When,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's American.
No, she's not a
sheet.
I'm not gonna lie, I just chose this because it's her most recognizable image. Like, yeah. I'd say everyone should just, like, go and find out more about Izzy Wood on their own time,
yeah,
because I think, like...
Doctors.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
That
explains so much.
it's also, like, how did she get to be famous? And
maybe
that
she,
is
maybe she grew up with Medellin history.
But actually...
Oh, yeah, she probably...
I wanted to ask, just before the meeting ended, if anyone would like to offer up a painting that we could talk about for, like, 10, 15 more minutes that's not this... specific painting by Izzy Wood, because I feel like it'd be nice to have a visual reference. It's not this because we've kind of moved on to, like, other topics.
Sure.
Anyone have any suggestions?
It's not, we could just go to one that we have.
Yeah.
Can I show?
Yeah.
That's super in that one.
Yeah, the British Museum has, like,
have you been to see?
They framed ones with loads of context that, like, it doesn't really say anything, but they've, like, recently added it and it's, like, a way of, like, addressing the concern.
Do you think a good artwork is supposed to be emotional? What makes a good body of work?
You know, the things. Because it's
harder. I think we haven't gone to the level
to the airdrop.
I think it's the point sometimes is the fact that you, like, can't really explain or understand why it's good. I find that's why I like a lot. Like, some pieces that I think are successful today. But because there is, like, an element of me not understanding why I am drawn to it.
Maybe if a work if I don't immediately engage with it in a way that's, like, positive, but it elicits a reaction and I tend to feel emotional towards it against my own will or, like, against what I, like, has been learning the way it looks, like, and that's when I consider it. Is that you?
No. It's not mine. It's not mine. I was like, no way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can just remove the sleeveful.
So the painting is blue for
her. I'm interested to hear what people think of it. It's by a painter called Paul Gopal Chowdhury, who I've neglected the title.
We can put it in the chat after, but precisely.
Yeah.
Up us.
No, I just spent time with him on Friday. We went to see the Sargent show together, because we both really don't like Sargent, and we thought it'd be good to talk about. I asked him if he had anyone that he responded to now, like painting today, anyone who's alive, and he felt that he could only respond to himself. And all his paintings are just about colour relation. Like he was brought up in India and then has been living in London, and so that's an influence, but everything that he's actually doing on the canvas is about the relationships between colour values, and then that gives him a freedom to be playful and bring all these different elements to the surface. So I was interested to see if anyone had any people thought.
I do really like the slide.
It's very like imaginative, playful, childlike.
And reminds me of my. There's so many little bits. It's called outside art. But it's outside art. Like, it was categorized as that in the 1950s. It was like art that was made by people who were like on the outskirts of society,
or
in prison, or in mental institutions, children, grouped into this umbrella because it's like what you said. Okay.
It reminds me of Sant Domingue.
And then there's like so many different. It's so different.
That he's a brother. He makes like weird animation. His work is weird,
Also, his work was like completely. His work was like extremely traditional, figurative. I mean, had like an influence of Balthus and had an Orcanus, the figuration, I suppose, but was pretty traditional until the last like 20 years. And then his work like completely exploded into containing like all of these different elements, which I think are really exciting and feel kind of cosmic.
Do you think there are like genres in painting anymore? So I understand that used to be a thing. Like there was like a historical painting and classical painting. And I don't know if those are the names you've done. Because in this one, it seems to be like there's like a landscape and a woman in it. And like,
yeah.
If there's any genres.
I think oh, that's a good question. Whether genres still exist. Yeah.
We think only ever exist in retrospect.
Yeah.
People try and. For some people, it's only a test of market value that people can't to do. Unless it's like imposed, self imposed.
Well, some people do see themselves, like, put themselves.
I feel like there's some genres in painting, God. Like,
brass.
In aesthetics. Because, like, this is a different. It's a similar aesthetic to, like.
Which is strange.
You plays with surrealism. It's very like if you're taking like a drug and like, you see this painting. I feel like it's for people like that they want something that is like not too serious. Like I like this a little bit. It's very like it has like surrealistic undertones. Like it's just weird. It's weird. That's what I call it.
It's quite like dreamlike. Which is so that.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, it's fine. No, you go.
He would say that he can place. He would say he has a freedom to place anything on the canvas and anything will work because of his response to values of colour and like a value in the way that we see, which is fundamental. And then from that, yeah, he can be playful with his imagery
and uses painting also in a referential way. But I think that's what's so absent in contemporary painting, is like honouring that as the primary thing you're trying to get to in painting, and then bringing, I guess, like your own agenda to it, if that's what you want to do.
So when you're talking about the colours, does that mean that like there's specific colours that appeal to figures?
No, it's literally all about the relationship that colours have, like how we read colour, how, yeah. Like the same thing you talk about with Basquiat, like he has like a fundamental vision of like, he's responding to something that's like utterly universal and unarguable, and that's the base and that's the foundation. And it's, people think his paintings can be like quite easily recreated, or like people really respond to them because they feel really democratic in that way. But then you can't, I don't know, you're only gonna get to like a complete surface of that aesthetic.
Do you think paintings should have a narrative function?
That's such a good question.
Because like, it's the same question with me, because when I'm doing like schoolwork or like pinching ideas to my teacher, does a body of work have to have a narrative structure or a narrative function? Does he have to tell a story within another story? Or it's just like, could a story be meaningless in narratively? Does a narrative function consider a good story or what? Like, because the other paintings, this has a narrative function, but like, do you think a narrative function makes a good work? Is it a factor or what?
I think it can actually like my dad used to before. Like I think like you were saying with this painting, there's way more of a like kind of, there's a deeper narrative than there was in that busy wood painting, I think. Well, at least that's how I view it, but I feel like this feels like there's almost like a Jarvian insight within this painting that I feel like was kind of out of another one. And to me, I think there's just something more kind of enticing about it as a result that, I don't think it always has to happen, but I think it's like, if the rock is like has an outer function, it feels like there's more to unpack, and it feels like you're crying. Yeah, you can get more. I think you can get more out of it sometimes.
There's always like a narrative going on all the time. That's how we think. So I think that it has to do with how much time that you spend looking at it and understanding it. But as you work, you can just kind of look at it, and then that's the moment. Whereas in this one, you're invited to travel across the school bit more.
Do you think because of the way that we interact with social media and its instantaneousness, our art will grow the humble as time goes on? The reason I wanted it to be like the future painting is because I like just have absolutely no idea. I mean, no one does, but with social media, I just wonder how the two will intersect in the future. Like, I'm going to say, like, how painting will make us feel. Will it always be about an instantaneous feeling of like, oh, like now I understand? Because like, I guess as he would try to do it ironically, there's only so much into that you can do. No wonder if there'll be like a counter response to it at some point.
I don't know if I don't know, it's really interesting that we just classified art as like Instagram artists, like we think it was like flattened image and stuff. I don't know, like I saw Izzy Wood at Freeze last year, and I remember seeing him, how I was actually really liking them, and I think this like narrative of her being an Instagram artist.
Sorry, that was
me. No, and if she is one, like
I don't like I was like trying to slay her, I just think them like really mostly like from it.
No, and I think it's like a, I think also as well, it's a valid descriptor of her. But I don't know if it's kind of, I feel like maybe in a way.
It doesn't look like
no, or it's just, I think like it's interesting, we've been talking about screens and depth and narrative, and then be kind of spoken, like, I don't know, kind of like a slap in the ring of the original image. And if that's because we categorized it, and we've like said there's no narrative, I don't know, like,
we did speak about that painting a long time, you know, and like we've not like. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the narrative that comes from like discussion, like from a work, is the meta kind of discussion about it and where it's placed, and I think that's the most interesting thing.
Like I
find about it and what everyone seems to talk about. Also, yeah, I don't know, like maybe the whole thing about whether it's painting or not, because so much of her work is seen through a screen, and we were talking about the difference of like seeing it in person and it's not. So, like, is that even a painting in that way? This primary reach to people is through a screen. Is she doing something? Yeah. Is then like it's a new kind of way.
I mean, I kind of hope when you're asking like what the accused of offending is like, I hope that that is not. Because it just feels like, I mean, obviously, like there are like I think a lot of painters that really play into like creating scenes that's like really instantly like gratifying aesthetically. I think nowadays like, that's one way you can really sell well. But I feel like as we kind of as our attention span tip, I know I really like hope that we don't kind of forget about the time that should be spent there until it gets annoying and tea, because the time to come into it is so great. It's like what I don't even know what the point is in like spending that time if someone's just gonna say, you know, to freeze out. It's like,
yeah.
It's like a dopamine thing rather than like any kind of like what is it? Yeah. I hope that's what happens.
I think that's a good way to end.
Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you.